Well, let us turn in our Bibles, please, today to the book of Hebrews. We are continuing on, as you see, in Hebrews, our study of the book of Hebrews. And today we are going to be looking at Abraham. And be glad I didn't pull out one of my old praise choruses. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. But we won't sing any more of that. Thank you. Thank you. Beloved, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word today as we are going to see it in chapter 11, beginning in verse 1 and 2, and then to verse 6, and then to verse 8 through 10. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. And verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And then verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these great examples of men of faith that we have here in this book of Hebrews. May you bless us as we would learn about faith more and more from them. May you bless your word to us. May you help us to understand what our faith needs to look like and is, and to give you thanks for it being similar to these heroes of the faith. And so now, Lord, we pray for your blessing on your word and on the preaching of your word and on the hearing of your word. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Please be seated. Today we will be looking at Abraham and Abraham's faith. Abraham, remember, was born and raised in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. And if you'll begin looking at your sermon helps there that you have in your bulletin, I have a map for you. And as you see there where Ur of the Chaldees was, down by the Persian Gulf there, I understand that this city has been identified by archaeologists and what have you. They really believe they know where it was, and that it was there on the Euphrates River, down by the mouth of the Euphrates River into the Persian Gulf. And the Persian Gulf in those days went up further, if that was the case. And this would have been in modern-day Iraq. So if you kind of get an idea of where we are at. Last week, remember, we learned about the faith of Noah. And as you know, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Abraham, we need to understand, descended from his son Shem. Okay? Israelites were Shemites because they were from the tribe of Shem. Based on Genesis 11, I believe we can know that approximately 400 years elapsed from the death of Noah to when God called Abraham. Okay, so about 400 years there. And then we can also see from scriptures that Noah lived about 350 years after the flood, which would help us to understand that Abraham lived about 700 years after the flood. Okay? Kind of helpful for me to get my perspective right. I hope it is for you. Look with me at verse 8 there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I think from my study of Abraham, that Abraham was a man of faith in God. His father Terah, we are told in Scripture, was not a man of faith in God. In fact, his father Terah was an idol worshiper. But Noah's son Shem, who Terah was a descendant of and Abraham was a descendant of, was still alive when Abraham was born. And Abraham followed the faith of Shem. Okay? Good thing he didn't follow the faith of Terah, because he was an idolater. But he followed the faith of Shem. If Shem was alive at Abraham's birth and able to have any input into his life, then he could tell him all about that flood, couldn't he? Because he was there. I think we can say that Abraham's trust and confidence in God led him to be chosen by God to become the father of the great nation that he became the father of. I think the prophet of Nehemiah said this about Abraham's faith as he talked with God. Look with me at your sermon helps at Nehemiah 9. Thou art the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abram. And thou didst find his heart faithful before thee. You notice that's why I think he was a man of faith. Thou didst find his heart faithful before thee, and didst make a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, and the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, to give it to his descendants. And thou hast fulfilled thy promise, for thou art righteous. The Apostle Paul said this about Abraham's faith in Romans 4. Look at there. What shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. In this blessing, then, upon the circumcised, is this blessing, then, upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Now then, how then was it reckoned, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to him, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And then the Apostle Paul also said this about Abraham's faith in Galatians 3. Look there. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. You hear how important faith is. That's what's being said here, beloved. The only thing that distinguished Abraham and gave him reconciliation with God was his faith, isn't it? And by faith, what do I mean? I mean that Abraham trusted in God. He trusted the promises of God regarding sending a Savior into this world who would destroy sin and ransom him from his sins and enable him to be saved unto everlasting life. I believe he understood the promise of the Messiah who would come into this world, my friends. Well, look again at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, and obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. We see the account of Abraham doing this in Genesis chapter 12, when God called him and he went and followed God. Would you look with me at Genesis 12 on your sermon helps there? Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram, went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What we see here, beloved, is that God commanded Abraham to do something, and he did it. It's just that simple, isn't it? God's call and command to Abraham was a test of his faith. The proof of Abraham's faith and the proof of his faith and obedience in God was in his obedience in doing what God said, in leaving the country and the relatives that God had said, "You must leave your family and go to a place that I will show you." He didn't tell him where it was. And it was not just mere faith that Abraham had, my friends, that makes him the example that we need to follow, but rather it was an obedient faith. It wasn't just a mere faith that he would say, "Oh, yes, I believe something," you know. It was an obedient faith. This is what I really want us to hone in on today. Beloved, this is what we want to make sure we are imitating. God said in verse 1 of Genesis 12, he said, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." And so, believing God by faith, Abraham obeyed. And we see that in verse 4. Look there again at Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Again, as we are going to see throughout this chapter of chapter 11 here, it wasn't just faith that we are to learn from. It is obedient faith. Okay? This is what pleased God. It's obedient faith. God called Abraham to do this. Look again at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. The word called there means to call out or to call forth from, meaning to be summoned by God to go to a specific place. Okay? Beloved, listen, if you are a Christian, then you need to know that it was because God called you as well. God called you to be his, to go to a specific place. Where did God ultimately call Abraham? To the heavenly city. Right? Yes, to the land of Canaan, but Abraham knew it was really to that heavenly city. And so this is what I would like us to think about, is that if we're a Christian, then God called us too. Let me show you from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. It's on your sermon helps there. And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That's us, right? We've been called by God, like Abraham was. Look at Romans 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. So God has called us also to come out of this world and to follow him to receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. All I can say there is thank you, Lord, that I received that call too. Again at verse 8, by faith Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance here. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God knew where he was calling Abraham to go, but my friends, he did not. God knew where the place he called him to go, but he did not. All Abraham knew was that God was calling him to go to a land or a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. An inheritance. Just that word right there is an interesting word, isn't it? It's what we're going to receive that is given to us. Maybe we would say that. Abraham knew that God promised him a land. God said, go to the land. So he described it. He said, go to the land which I will show you. And God promised Abraham that there in that land or that inheritance, he would bless him and even make his name great. And God also promised Abraham that he would protect him. Wouldn't you like to have that guarantee also? Whoever comes against you, I will deal with them. And anyone who curses you, I will curse. I mean, it's like he has God's full protection here in going out into the world of that day. And so God promised him these things. And as he obeyed, God did those things. And then God gave Abraham perhaps the greatest promise of all, which was that from him would come the Savior who God had promised to send into the world. The Savior, who I believe Abraham already was believing, was coming into the world. Again, I believe that Abraham was part of a remnant of people in those days who believed that God would send that Savior into the world, and he lived by faith that this would happen. He didn't know when, but God was saying, he is going to come from you, Abraham. Understand, contained in the promises God made to Abraham, Abraham understood that God was promising him that he was going to have children. Remember, up to this time, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, had had no children. And remember, God calls Abraham to go to the promise, to the land he's going to give him at the age of 75. Isn't that amazing when we think of that? Of course, they lived longer. I believe Abraham lived to 175. So he's pretty young at 75, I guess. It's not quite like God calling Daryl or me, who are going to be turning 70 here next month. But at any rate, he was 75, and they had had no children. And yet Abraham understood that God was going to bless him with many descendants. That's what he understood. He knew God could do this because he trusted that God could do anything. All we can say is that God had given Abraham faith in him, beloved. Abraham had faith in the God who Adam and Eve had put their faith in. And then Seth had put his faith in. And Enoch and Noah and Noah's son Shem. He had faith in the God of his forefathers. I think he knew the accounts of what God had done for those great men of faith, like we know the accounts here. He knew the account of Enoch, who God took up to heaven without seeing death, that we just recently studied a few weeks ago. He knew the account of the great flood and how his forefather Noah and his sons were the only men of faith in the world at that day, and how God destroyed the people, the godless people, but he made his covenant with Noah and Noah's descendants. And now, beloved, God is saying, I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abraham. And now I think God is making this covenant with him, and I think Abraham understood that God was doing with him kind of what he had done with Noah, basically starting over again. Not that God was going to destroy the world again. God had already promised, I'll never do that again in the way that he did with Noah. Never again. Remember, that's what the rainbow was a symbol of. But God, I think maybe he understood God was starting something new with him. He was beginning a new thing with him and his family. God was entering into a covenant with him. And I think that might have come to his mind. He was entering into a covenant with him that was going to have redemptive implications for not only his immediate family and all of his descendants, but even for all the families of the earth. Because that's what God said in Genesis 12 and verse 3. He says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I think Abraham sensed a messianic implication in that phrase, in what God said there. He understood something about the messianic promise. So again, back to verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. As we see here, Abraham obeyed God and left not knowing where he was going to be led to. He couldn't tell his kinfolks where he was going. He couldn't identify anything, but he had faith in God, my friends. I think we are to learn that faith was the cause why Abraham immediately obeyed God when he was commanded to leave his own country. And then it was through that same faith that he went out unwaveringly to go where God would lead him. And he did so to the end of his life. He lived by faith, something that we all share in common. We are all going to live by faith to the end of our days, beloved. Look what John Calvin said on this. This first quote that I have on your sermon helps by John Calvin. He said, his promptness in obeying and his perseverance was how Abraham's faith was most clearly proved. Doesn't sound like Abraham took any time at all to say, let me get back to you, God, about that. Let me think about it. Where did you say you're going to take me? You know, like maybe I'd like to know something about it. None of that, right? His promptness in obeying and his perseverance was how Abraham's faith was most clearly proved. His obedience was proof of his faith, my friends. Think about that. And he obeyed and he went out from his own country, really having no knowledge of anything good in another place where he would go, no reason to think that he would have success in that new place that God was going to take him to. But he had faith in God. And you know what? He had, first of all, faith that God was, and that God was calling him, and that God was the rewarder of those who seek him. That's all we really need to know, isn't it? It's just like we studied in verse 6 there, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you know that much, then you'll follow God. because you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And therefore, I will do that. I will do that. This is the principle and truth, I think, that the writer of Hebrews wants to drive home in all these examples here, my friends. John Eadie is a great commentator, and look what he said on this. He said, there are thus two things in the verse stated more directly as evidences and proofs of faith: his departure from his own country and his ignorance as to the country where he was going. His faith was such that he obeyed so as to leave his own country and also to go to a country of which he knew nothing. So he's making the point that there's two ways we see his faith: to leave his own country and to go someplace that he did not know where he was going. Two examples of faith, right? So Abraham voluntarily left his own country, but then he only did what God commanded him to do. No more, no less. This too is what faith does, beloved. It does what God's word says, and it obeys only what God says. Again, Calvin said this. He says, faith does not move a step except God's word shows us the way, and as a lantern gives us light, according to what David says in Psalm 119, 105. And remember what Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What we notice about the faith of all these Hebrews of the faith, my friends, that we meet here in Hebrews, is that when God told them to do something, they did it. We see an unquestioning trust that led each man of faith that we study here, and woman of faith, to receive God's word and then act upon it. As I pointed out last week, there was nothing in Noah's experience in life that gave him any reason to believe that the devastating flood that God said was going to come onto the world was really going to happen. But Noah believed, and he did what God told him to do. And so it was with Abraham, who promptly obeyed God's call without the slightest idea of where he was going to end up. What we learn here is that all these people of faith were just willing and ready to do what God told them to do and go where God led them and then trust in God for the outcome. It's how we have to look at life. Today we sang that little song that expressed what faith in God should do and look like. And let me just read that first verse to you. Lead kindly, light, amid the encircling gloom. O, lead me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. O, lead me on. Keep firm my feet. I do not ask to see. The distant scene, one step enough for me. I think that's such a good picture of how we live by faith. Just one step at a time. Don't think that God's going to lay out everything that you might like to have laid out for you. He doesn't do it that way. So Abraham is this great example of a man of faith. And we know this because God specifically said of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And again, we can learn that Abraham's righteousness that he had before God and his acceptance by God was not just because he had a mere faith in God, a passive faith, we might say, but because he had an obedient faith. And beloved, this is what God wants us to have, is an obedient faith. That Abraham believed and God accounted it to him as righteousness was the result of his believing God and his following God's instruction, his words. He went out not knowing where he was going. That's what faith does. So it was that Abraham received the divine call of God, and he took God at his word, and because he had real faith, my friends, he obeyed the divine call of God. He would not have obeyed that divine call had he not have taken God at his word. We can say that Abraham's obedience was the outward evidence of his inward faith. And beloved, it's the same for us. The evidence of our inward faith will also be our outward obedience. Okay? That's how it works. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46. Look there. "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been built, well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like the man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against upon it, against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." So we must hear and then do. This also reminds me of James's words in James 1:22. Look there. "But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror." And so, had Abraham only been a man who heard but did not do, then he wouldn't have left his home, would he? He wouldn't have left his relatives there, and he wouldn't have gone to a place that God would show him that he did not know. So Abraham is a great example, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers of it. So what I learned from this is faith must always be obedient faith. And the kind of faith that Abraham and Noah and Enoch, who we've studied thus far, had was obedient faith. But we particularly see it in Abraham, don't we? It was complete confidence and trust in God's word that led to or resulted in obedience to do what God commanded. As Christians, we believe, as the reformers of the 14th and through the 17th centuries rediscovered, which was that sinners like us are saved by grace, but through faith, right? And we believe that the only thing that God will reckon as righteousness to us is our faith in Him, our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ as the one who died for our sins, just like God did for Abraham. Remember in Romans 4:3, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." But now, listen, beloved, we have the example here of Abraham and Abraham's faith. Faith that led him to make a journey of some 1,067 miles. Do you realize it was 641 miles from Ur up to Haran? If you look at that little map, 641 miles, they say, was how far it was. And then from Haran down to Shechem was another 426 miles. Now, if you had a jet airplane, it wouldn't be any problem. If you had a modern-day car, it wouldn't be any problem. And roads. Wasn't that way for Abraham, was it? And he did all this because he had an obedient faith in God's word to him, beloved. And he kept going as long as God led him. Faith does not give up when the going gets tough. And beloved, this can teach us that there is no limit to what we will do if we have the kind of faith that Abraham did. I'll tell you what, if somebody told me, you're going to go on a journey of 1,067 miles without a car, without a bicycle, okay, maybe a few camels. Boy, that's faith. That's faith, isn't it? Look with me at verse 9. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. This is the second thing that Abraham did because of his faith, my friends. Notice that after making this long trip and finally arriving and trusting in God's promise to get him there, Abraham was content to live as an alien in the land of promise, as a sojourner in a foreign land. You know what the definition of a sojourner is? It's a person who resides temporarily in a place. He doesn't make it his home. He sees it as a temporary thing. Well, that's how Abraham saw where God took him to. Again, verse 9 says, by faith, Abram lived as an alien. Think about it. The only status Abraham ever had in Canaan was that of a sojourner in the land of promise. Although God had promised it to him, he never pretended to own it. He never demanded that the residents there give it to him or recognize him as the owner of it. He believed God's promise to give him a land for his descendants, but he waited on God to do so. That's another thing that impresses me so much about Abraham. He knew God's promise to give him a land, but when he gets there, he lives as a sojourner, as a temporary resident, if you will. Calvin said, faith does not move a step except God's word shows us the way. And that's how Abram was. In all his days there, Abraham did end up with a deed, or we might say a title, to a small piece of land, actually a cave. You remember the cave of Machpelah, where he was able to bury his wife. And even for that, he insisted on paying some 400 shekels of silver. But that was all he owned. And what's amazing about that is that Abraham did not demand that God give it to him. And Abraham never stopped trusting and believing and living as a man of obedient faith. And listen, by faith, he knew that that land was only a type. This is the important thing. He knew that that land was only a type and a pledge of a better country. And he kept that country, that better country, continually in his thoughts. So that's why he was content to live as a sojourner in tents without any segment of the land that he could consider his own. Kaufman's commentary said it well. He said, it was squarely here, in his de-emphasis of the present world, that the glory of Abraham chiefly centered. God was in his inheritance, his shield, his exceeding great reward. And as related in the following verse, Abraham looked to the eternal city, the city that hath foundations in that upper and better kingdom for the realization of all his hopes. He treated the world as a mere bridge, something to pass over, not a place to dwell. The world was a bridge to that better place. Look at verse 10. For he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder was God. Beloved, from this we learn how Abraham thought about this world. He did not regard the land God took him to, Canaan, as his permanent residence. He knew this earth was not his true home, the true home of his soul. Let me say it that way. How about us? How about us? Do we look at this world like Abraham did? Do we, my friends, we should, because you know what? We have so much more light in the New Testament that makes us see that this world is not our home. Abraham didn't have all the benefit that we do of the wonderful New Testament, yet he still understood that this earth wasn't his home, and it wasn't the blessed land that God promised him. Think of the wonderful truths that we have. Think of the scripture in Philippians 3:20 that tells us, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Abraham didn't have Philippians 3:20 to tell him that, but he knew it, didn't he? His citizenship was not in Canaan. But we have that scripture, my friends, to see that that is the case. Think of Matthew 6:19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Here we are told that our treasure is in heaven. That's where we're heading. Think of John 14:3. "And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Here we are told that Jesus, our Lord, is in heaven, and he has promised to come again and to take us where he is in heaven. Think of Hebrews 6. "Look, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." See, our hope is in heaven, beloved. And think of Luke 10:20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Here we see that even our names are already recorded in heaven. They're already inscribed in heaven. That's where our destination is. That's the inheritance God has promised. And though we have this wonderful information, you know, most people don't live like they believe it or even think about it, do they? Beloved, if we're not careful, we will live like the world is our home, whereas we should see it as the bridge, like we read in that quote, as the pathway to the promise that God has for us. This world and its treasures should be less and less the thing that we set our hearts on and love and esteem, and our eternal inheritance more and more. May God help us to be like Abraham, who was willing to leave the life that he had in this world in order to seek the city which has foundations and whose architect and builder is God. Well, beloved, there's more, and we'll get to more a little bit later next time. But may God help us to see the world as Abraham did. May God help us to understand what faith is, as we see that it is obedient faith. It's faith that does what God says to do. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons that we are able to learn from your word. Thank you for the life of Abraham, for what you did in him. Thank you so much that we can see that it is possible for a person to hear your word, believe in you with all their hearts, and follow you wherever you take them. And thank you that this is what you are doing for us. And we pray now that you will help us to just be like Abraham in following your leading every day of our lives, following your word, holding to it completely, completely believing that you are the rewarder of those who seek you. And so, Lord, we will ask for your Holy Spirit to do this within our hearts too. Now, in Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen.